Good to see you, Randy. And Miss Chrissy's here too. Hallelujah.
Miss Chrissy.
Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, thank you, dear Jesus. Thank you for your presence today, dear Lord. Thank you for your anointing over this house, dear Jesus. Thank you for another opportunity to share the word, dear Lord, that you speak through Pastor Sandy, dear Lord, and that he speaks the word back to us, dear Lord. I thank you for that, dear Jesus. I thank you for another opportunity to celebrate you today, dear Lord. Let us be full of your grace this dear Lord, your mercy, dear Jesus. Let us be ever so attentive, dear Lord, and what the Spirit is saying this day. It's like no other, dear Lord. Let us pay attention. Let us come with humble hearts, bowed heads and hearts, dear Lord, to receive from you today. We thank you. We bless you, Lord. Thank you for those that will be ministering to our children today, dear Lord. Let them freely, dear Lord, work within the Holy Spirit, dear Lord, to minister to our little ones, dear Lord. Let them, too, also be blessed on this day. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we bless you. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Good to see everyone here. Thank you guys for being here. See, you're here this time. Thank you guys for being here. I appreciate it. God bless you. Hallelujah. I'm just turning my phone down or off. Mute. How you guys doing?
Good.
All right, Elohim Tov. Don't sound like it. Yeah. Kol Hazman means all the time. God is good all the time. Elohim Tov. Kol Hazman. Amen. Well, thank you guys. I am spending very good quality time with the Lord. And yesterday I was waiting on the message, talking to one of the members from Connecticut, and God gave me the message. He was talking to me, and then God showed me something while he was talking to me. And then so from there, I had the message. So I was very thankful that God gave me the message early. I sent it over to Pastor Ben. And so we're ready to go today. How many of you guys know of a scripture that Jesus told the apostles, and he says, not many are saved? You ever heard that scripture? Jesus says, he tells the apostles, not many are saved, okay? So I want you guys to know that those words came from Jesus, okay? It seems that salvation is a very narrow road and that it's hard for people to stay on it. And salvation is a very narrow road, and it's hard for some people to even find it. So, but it's Jesus, the God who created everything, who said, not many are saved, okay? So know and understand that, because when I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to you because take your salvation serious. I want you to take the fact that you're born again, you have Jesus Christ in your life, you're living this life of sanctification, you're getting to know who God is, and God is your Father, and God is the lover of your soul, and God is trying to pull you into salvation. So take it very seriously, especially in these last days. Because the Lord was just showing me, and he wanted me to start this message out by saying something about his prophecy. How many of you guys know that God prophesied that Israel would be a nation in 1948? Do you know that? Because I was in church my whole life and I never heard about Israel or them being a nation. And that God prophesied that they would come back into existence in 1948. And so the Lord wanted me to read like what was going on in 1948, okay? So says in 1948, the world was recovering from war. In 1948, Gandhi was assassinated. You guys know who Gandhi is? Oh, yeah. He was assassinated. The president was Harriet Truman, and he was urging Congress to start a civil rights program. That was all going on in 1948. The Michigan Wolverines won the Rose Bowl in 1948. Billie Holiday was released from prison early on good behavior in 1948. Then May 14th came and Israel became a nation. And then you know what happened after Israel became a nation? They had the first World Chess Championship on May 16th. And then a few days after, Joe DiMaggio hit three home runs and the Yankees beat the Indians. So how many people do you think in 1948 was even knew or understood that God had just fulfilled prophecy? So God was showing me like the world is not concerned with him and he's only concerned with his children. You understand? So don't think that God is like, you know, I'll do anything to save all of them. There is a very unique people that God finds them and he considers you to be a precious pearl. Meaning that he sold everything. Once he found you, he sold everything to die on the cross, to win your salvation, to bring you into the kingdom as part of his family. So you are very important and very valuable to God. So, but you have to understand that all of this stuff was going on in 1948. If you were a Christian in 1948, there were some Christians that were going, oh my God, the Bible's true. We can now understand that prophecy is real. There were some Christians that understood that, okay? But the majority of the world, Israel became a nation again, meant absolutely zero, okay? In 1967, Israel won back Jerusalem. And that's a prophecy that happened 19 years later that was prophesied in 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 8, when it said, Ezra came and burnt down the temple. So in 19 years after 1948, it was prophesied that in 1967, they would win back Jerusalem. So here 1967 was, they have Israel, but they don't have Jerusalem. And now they fight a 6-day war and they win back Jerusalem. So the Bible came true twice in front of the eyes of human beings, okay? Now, in 1967, it says the important things that were going on in 1967. Cowboys lost the NFL championship to the Packers. January 20th, Wilt Chamberlain hit 15 shots in a row, okay? And then in June 6th, the Israeli troops won a war, won back Gaza, won the 6-day war, won back Gaza, Jerusalem, Jericho, and Bethlehem. Then the day after that, the Yankees drafted Ron Bloomberg. and the Monkees had a sold-out concert at Hollywood Bowl. You guys don't know who the Monkees were, but that was they were like an imitation Beatles, right? So you got to know and understand that the world, even though two great prophecies just happened in their lifetime, the world was like, so what? You know, who got drafted? Did you see the basketball game? And the Lord just wanted me to let you know it's about to be the same way. When the church is taken out, many of the people are going to believe whatever lie is available because all of them want life to continue as normal. So nobody's going to be all up in arms about the rapture. They're going to be trying to find out reasons why it happened. But it's about to happen. And when it happens, the whole world is not focused on what the body of Christ is focused on. We're focused on the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're focused on our salvation in Christ, on waking up and fighting this war against our enemy each and every day in the spirit. And that's what we're concerned about. But you understand what Jesus says. Very few people are saved, okay? So don't think that, you know, that God is like he has to do something to help all of these people. The scripture says they are not saved because they did not love the truth, because they had no desire to know and to love the truth. That is why they are perishing. They don't care about God. You understand? They don't care about righteousness. They don't care about doing right. And so for that, God is like, okay, I'm concerned then with my children, okay? You're in the park, you're not watching everybody's kids. Now, if you see a few wander off, you're like, hey, somebody needs to be watching that kid. But you're really looking at yours, right? And so I want you to know God is the exact same way. God is very much concerned about his very own children. Now, let me also say this before we get there. The 11th Smita cycle, people keep asking me about it. I know that the 11th 10-year cycle of Israel begins at Rosh Hashanah. I'm aware of that, okay? I've counted out Canada 1916, because 1916 was a jubilee. And so I counted it out from 1916. And September, when Rosh Hashanah happens, it will begin at the 11th cycle of 7 years for Israel. So that whole 7 years of tribulation that they're going through is the 11th cycle of seven, okay? And which we've learned last week, I hope we learned that 11 is a cursed number, okay? And so for that Smita year to be falling in this year and changing the year around, it's just absolutely perfect and lines up with scripture, because the 11 is, okay? Let's read Isaiah chapter 1, first of all, okay? Because the Lord really wants me to read this. We have, we're in this year 5782, which 5 plus 7 plus 8 plus 2 is 22. We're in this year of the wheat harvest, in this summertime of the wheat harvest. Wheat in Hebrew equals 22. We're in this year that is 1948 year, Israel was rebirthed, and that was 5708, that's 20. And it was on the English calendar, 1948, which is 22, so 2022. In the pi sequence, 2022, right after it is 153, which is the children of God, or the rapture sequence, that's in John chapter 21. And so everything that that is prophetic in scriptures is pointing to this year. Even that Smita cycle that begins the 11th 7-year cycle since the rebirth of Israel. So God is trying to show through biblical means, not through, you know, craziness, but through biblical means, he's trying to show you the born again Christians, his own children. This is prepare yourself, get ready to go. Okay. So if we don't pay attention and we're like the world who are like, we don't really care about the word of God, then it says, be careful, that day will come up suddenly and like a trap. You understand? So you don't want this day to sneak up on you. We're not children of dark, children of light. Therefore, he says, it should not take us by surprise. When the rapture happened, we should go, yep, I knew it, right? And so we should, this should, it should only surprise children of darkness who aren't waiting and knowing that this is God's plan. Get cleaned up sometime. You guys know that? It's got to get cleaned up sometime. We can't continue with more homelessness and more wars and more killings. And we just, it just can't keep going on and on and on and on. And so it's got to happen sometime. And God is trying to show us, look, prepare yourself. Look how everything is lining up. Okay. So you're in Isaiah chapter 1. Okay. Let's start at verse 2. It says, hear, O heaven. Listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his master, the donkey his owner, his owner's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Now, he's talking about Israel in this chapter, but I want you to understand, in these last days, this chapter is talking about us. Because God reared up. There are people that walked the aisle, gave their life to Jesus Christ, cried when they did it. And right now, if you saw them, they are so far from Christ that God is like, what happened? How did you get so far away from me? And we need to know and understand that if you get away from a discipline, that discipline will drive you into a loss. You understand? You have to, anything you want to maintain, you have to have discipline. And if you want to maintain eternal life, you have to study to show thyself approved. You have to pray without ceasing. You have to put on the whole armor of God. You're going to have to do this as a discipline in your life because you're trying to protect what God has cherished and died for. And now you're in and he wants to bring you in and finish this off. Okay. So it says, so don't think of it as only Israel. I will point out Israel as well. It says, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his master, the donkey his owner. Oh, I read that. Verse 4, our sinful nation, a people loaded with guilt, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel. They turned their backs on him. Why should you be beaten anymore? Why do you persist in rebellion? So you see what he's saying there? He's saying, why should I beat you anymore? You have one kid's exact. My mom had one. She said, you know what? I'm tired of whipping you. Get out my house. And we're like, you kicking him out? Yep, he can't live here no more. And this is what God is saying. He said, you know what? Why should I continue punishing you and whipping you when you don't listen? So God says, you're at a whole nother level, okay? So you don't want God to get to the levels like he's tired of chastising you, okay? So he's saying here, he says, why should you be beaten anymore? Why do you persist in rebellion? The whole head is injured. Your whole heart is afflicted. For the sole of your feet to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed and bandaged or soothed with oil. It says, your country is desolate, talking about Israel. Your city burns with fire. Your fields are being stripped by foreigners. Right before you, laid waste as when overthrown by a stranger. The daughter of Zion is left like a shelter in a vineyard, like a hut in the field of melons, like a city under siege. unless the Lord Almighty had left us some survivors, Israel saying, we would have been like Sodom and we would have been like Gomorrah. Okay? So we're talking about Israel, and then he says they're going to be left. The daughters of Zion are going to be left. And remember in Song of Songs, they say to daughter of Zion, they say, come back, Shulamite, right? Because the daughters of Zion are going to be left, and God is going to have to rescue them. But why are they being left? Children that are of the other five virgins who had no oil are going to be left. But why are they going to be left? How is it that you can come into Christ, you can shed tears, you can say, thank you for saving me, I now know and I now understand. How is it that you can end up back in a club doing the same things you used to do? How does that happen? It's when you have no discipline, because at some time going to church is just not worth it anymore, you know, it's just too far. Listening to the Bible, I could be watching my favorite show. Praying, I just ain't don't have time. I got so many things on my mind. And so God says, these things, if you get let life creep up on you and you're so concerned with life that you forget about God, don't think you're gonna stay in shape if you stop working out. And you're sitting around going, and you're having a good excuse every day. But you know, at one time you were in shape, right? But every day that you don't, your body gets weaker and weaker and weaker. And before you know it, you can't run. You can't run a half a block. You used to run 10. So I'm just letting you know, the discipline is very necessary. You understand? I can't follow you home and make you disciplined.
Amen. Amen.
And if I'm a restaurant, I only serve food on Sunday. That means the rest of the week while you're at home, you've got to cook up something, right? You got to be in the scriptures. You got to be in prayer. You can't come back on Sunday and go, I'm starving. I go, well, what have you been doing all week? I didn't read. I didn't pray. Well, sooner or later, this ain't going to work for you.
Right.
You're going to die off.
Amen.
So I want you guys to make sure that in these last days, keep yourself disciplined, okay?
Amen.
And keep yourself with a sound mind.
Amen.
Repentance is a gift.
Yes. Yes.
If you sin, repent. Ask God to forgive you and be firm that you don't want to go back to that. You understand?
Amen.
Why am I telling you this? Why is this all being driven so? Because God is like, I'm trying to save lives. I'm not trying to get church members. I'm trying to save lives.
Amen.
And so God says there are a lot of people that, just like Israel was, there are a lot of people that know him, but their actions. Let's continue reading. It says in verse 10, hear the words of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Now he's calling Israel Sodom. Listen to the law of God, you people of Gomorrah. Because he's saying you're just like them. It says, the multitudes of your sacrifice, what are they to me? Says the Lord. I have more than enough burnt offerings and ram offerings and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. So what were they doing? They were bringing to the temple the offerings. They were bringing the bulls. They were coming to the temple. It wasn't like they weren't coming to the temple, and they were coming with offerings. And this is the same as Christians. I come to church, I come with my offering, and then God is like saying, who needs it? Listen to what God says. He says, I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you? This trampling of my courts. Stop bringing me meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. So what is God saying? So, okay, you came in, you had your tithes. You lift your hands and you praise God. God is like, he's so disgusted. You know why? Because your willingness to be obedient and live for God when you leave is not there. So he's like, this is a waste of my time, and this is a waste of your time if you're not going to live it. Because eventually you're going to lose your life, and I'm going to have to be sad over you losing your life. So God's like, look, the only thing I care about is what you do when you're not here. If you come into my courts and you have an offering, but you have a willingness and obedience, then I'm happy to take your offering. I'm happy to see your hands raised praising me. But if you're praising me with your hands and singing songs with your mouth, and your lifestyle is unwilling to do the things that God wants you to do, church is like just an exercise. Because church is not about making you a better church member.
Amen.
Church is about you having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and growing in him. So I want you guys to know and to understand. I almost had Abigail change the title because the Lord told me last night, there's a little time left. There's a little time left, and Satan knows it. So if you're getting tempted more and more in these latter days, just remember Satan knows too. Remember, it was the demon that asked Jesus, are you here before the appointed time?
Yeah.
A demon is asking Jesus, like, what are you doing here? Are you ready? Are you going to punish me before the appointed time? I know when it's supposed to happen.
Right.
They don't, but I do. So Satan is very well, when it became 1948, guess what? Satan knew. Psst, dang, another prophecy came past. This God is looking more real every day. When 1967 happened, Satan was, oh my goodness, another prophecy has come to pass. It's only people and Christians who see prophecy happen and they don't think nothing about it. When Donald Trump in 2017 said Jerusalem belongs to the Jews, on a Jubilee day, 1917, they announced to the world, Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. 50 years later, the next Jubilee, 1967, they announced Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. 50 years later, the President of the United States announced Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. That's three Jubilees in a row that the same thing happens. Oh, it's just an accident. No, God is doing prophecy right in front of you all the time. And if you don't see it, you won't know how real this is.
Amen.
Amen.
This is about life.
Amen.
And you guys have got to know and understand that. This is about life. And I'm talking about life after your little jacked up body, because we're doing a whole lot to keep them in shape and keep them right here. And we know that as soon as we leave, they just going to be turned back into dirt. But while we in it, let's take care of it. But you know and understand that body ain't going nowhere. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But there is a you inside of there that can, and there is a he that's in the kingdom that rose to give you a brand new body.
Yes.
And if you don't believe that, then why does all these prophecies keep coming true? You've got to know who you're serving, that he's a real God, and he's doing a real project, and you're a part of it, and you're about to realize it.
Amen.
On one side or the other. You understand?
Yeah.
Here we go. Let's continue. Who knows where I stopped? Okay. says, I have, it says, stop bringing me meaningless offerings, verse 13. Your incense are detestable to me, your new moons, your Sabbaths, and convocations, I cannot bear your evil assembly. He's like, I don't even like when you come to church. This is a bad thing. I used to go to, what was that church in LA, Pastor? I think you went there too. That was a daytime nightclub. It was a singles church. And everybody came, shined their cars, put on their best outfit. Every girl wore a dress that was inappropriate for church. It was just nightclub on Sunday morning. They had the biggest singles ministry.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, well, how many marriages have happened out of this single marriage? None so far. No, they said two. I was like, y'all had this ministry for like 10 years and y'all had two marriages? I said, there's a lot of bad stuff going on in that single ministry. But you got to know and understand, sometimes you can get church mixed up with God.
Yeah.
And God is like, I really have nothing. That is like a place you come for people who love me, that come and bring me offering, that come and praise my name, that come and sing songs. That's what that's for. That's what church is for.
Yeah.
It's not for people who are faking like they're Christians so they can come and a boxer won last night. He said, I want to thank the Son of God for everything he's done for me and blah, 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 blah. And then he started dropping F-bombs. And I was like, he don't get it. He don't get it. And I'm hoping that as Christians, we get it. Okay? If I'm Satan, I'm making sure you get an opportunity to sin before the rapture. I'm going to make sure you get an opportunity to sin before the rapture. If I'm Satan, because I know you're going, but I got one more shot. Let me see who I can get to call you. Let me see who I can get to invite you to the next event. Let me just see how I can work this out. And if you're not praying and fasting, and if you're not in your word, and the Holy Spirit is not speaking to you clearly, because the Holy Spirit will tell you. I know the Holy Spirit has told me, don't go. Holy Spirit told that young lady when we first started, Pastor Ben told her, the Lord said, do not go. Your hands are for him. Your feet are for him. She went and got shot in the hand. And I was like, that was, didn't Pastor Ben say your hands are for God? She went to the party and got shot in the hand. So it's like every place is not for you to go. Every invitation is not for you to say yes.
Right.
You have to make a decision based on, I make all my decisions based on the fact that I'm married to my wife. Hey, do you want to go here? No. Can my wife come? No. Hey, we'll fly you here if you can come and speak. I'll come if my wife can come with me, but I ain't coming by myself. I don't know you like that. You know what I mean? And your decision should be based on the person you love, which is Jesus. Let's continue. Okay. All right. It says, for all the towering amount, verse 17, the arrogance of men will be brought low. The pride of men will the pride of men humbled, the pride, it says, the arrogance of men will be brought low and the pride of men humbled. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day, and the idols will totally disappear. You hear that? Men will flee to caves in the rocks and the holes in the ground from dread of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty when he rises to shake the earth. Now, what he's talking about, tribulation stuff, because they're going to be hiding in caves in the tribulation. The book of Revelation says that. In that day, men will throw away, it will throw away to the rodents, and men will it says, in that day, men will throw away to the rodents and the bats their idols and silver and idols of gold, which they made to worship. They will flee to caverns in the rocks and to the overhanging crags from the dread of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty when he rises to shake the earth. That's a promise. God says, I'm coming. I'm coming to shake the earth. But I'm coming to take my church out of here first. Now listen, I told you about 1948 and 1967. Those were prophesied in Genesis. They didn't happen to almost 5,000-6,000 years later. Those prophecies didn't happen, but they came true. Other prophecies, God telling us who's going to rule the world and all this stuff, they all have come true. Prophecy after prophecy after prophecy. If you tell me that I'm going to go into servitude, and you tell me what country I'm going to and what year I'm going to be in that country and be under all this stress and death, and you told me what country I'm going to and what year is going to happen, and you told it to me 3,000 years before it happened and it happened, I would be like, okay, from now on, whatever you say is go. Whatever you say goes. God is telling you. Here's the vision. My children are playing in the park. They're my kids. I know that a bomb's coming to strike the park. Are you taking your kids out of the park before the bomb comes? That's all God's saying he's going to do for you. I'm taking you out of the park before the bomb hits, okay? But don't think stupidly. Don't think that I'm lying to you. A bomb is going to hit the park. I want to take you out before it hits. If you're one of those stubborn kids that say, I'm still on the slide, leave me alone, I can't help you. You understand? So God is trying to let you know the importance of the time you're living in. In 120 years, there will be a worldwide flood. That's what he told Noah. When it came to 120th year, 2020, there was a worldwide judgment. And God said, it's going to happen. And the first thing in Psalms 120 is, deliver me, rapture me away from this place. Because I'm trying to let you know, we thought it got worse as it could possibly ever get in 2020. Now it's getting better. And God's like, I already said in my word, things are going to wax worse and worse until he comes. He didn't tell you after the pandemic, then everything will get better and then it'll be utopia and you'll all get money and get a free boat, whatever we think in our minds, that, you know, something great's coming. I know it. God has promised you it's going to get worse and worse until I come and change it. Okay? I'm taking you out of the park. Now, let's look at what's going on here. I have to read this. Look. Okay, we'll go back to that. Last week, I was talking to you guys about the number 11. You guys remember that? Yes. The importance of 11. And 11 is a satanic number. I told you that, right? Yeah. Yeah. I showed you how many events that happened on the 11th, right? Yeah. I showed you that they planned those events on the 11th, right? Yeah. So I want you to know that judgment is going to come on the 11th. It's in the Bible. 11th is in the Bible 11 times. 11th year is in the Bible 9 times. You think God did that by accident? 9 is the number of judgment. 11 is the year of confusion. Okay? So God is like, in the 11th, okay? Now, this is going to be in September, the 11th, 7th year Smita process in Israel. It's going to be the 11th Smita in Israel, okay? I counted it from 1916, because 1916 was a smita, because 1917 was a jubilee. So I'm counting the smita. I'm like, oh my God, when it turns September this year, it'll be in the 11th smita cycle. So the whole 7 years of tribulation is the 11th seventh year cycle. It'll all be tribulation and judgment. I'm talking about, listen to what I'm saying. I did not say September of 2089. I did not say September of 3004. This September. I'm trying to explain to you guys where you're at. So God is like, look, you guys have got to know and understand. I can't keep doing prophecy in front of my children and they not believe me. And it's happening right in front of you. God is like, I allowed 2020 to wake my people up. I allowed it. You know why? Because some of us were trusting in our jobs. We thought our jobs were our God. Our businesses were our job, were our gods. And then now you have to find out, oh my goodness, I can't do any of that. I need God. And before that, people were saying, oh, all we gotta do is trust in Trump. Trump's gonna save us. Trump's gonna save. And then Trump lost and everybody went, oh, our savior is not president anymore. Everything is dependent on what God wrote in the Bible and what Jesus is going to do. You understand? He's the one who saves. He created it all. He wrote the story. He's got your name written in the book of life. He's building you a crib. Can you believe that? Amen. That's personal. Yeah. I know just what you like. I know how you like it. I know how you like this room. I know how you like that. I know where you like to travel. Don't worry. I got you covered for eternity. And you guys have no idea that Satan wants to steal that. He's been there. Can you imagine that? He's been there. He's seen glory. He's been there. And he doesn't want you to have it. So all he wants from you is to give back that confession. Just give it back. Or ignore it. So that you can miss out on it. Understand? Okay, now, so there's a scripture in Deuteronomy. Are you guys got notes? Yes. Hallelujah. Pastor Ben is awesome. In the notes, it says Deuteronomy chapter 20, 32, verse 29. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. That means like the end is now. Okay, you know what year is that is? 5782. 5 plus 7 plus 8 plus 2 is 22. You know what year stands for? From September 21st to September 2022. The numerical value of that scripture, you know that it's the end, is 1661. It also is the numerical value of the words in John chapter 6, verse 39. At the last day is also 1661. Okay? Now, 1661, why is God dividing it by or timesing it by 11? Because it's going to be a time of judgment. 11 times 151 is 160 is 1661. It means in the last days. 19 times 151 means the body of Christ. 2 times 151 is 302. It means the church. So God wants you to know what he's planning for this 11th Smita that's about to hit in September. 151 means the gathering. 151 means the taking away, the asaf. And that's the scripture, Isaiah 57, verse 1 and 2. And it says, the righteous have avowed, have vanished, and no one takes to heart that merciful men are taken away, gathered to God, while no one considers that the righteous have been taken away to keep them, in the Hebrew, from facing evil. The scripture says, righteous men vanish. And you need to know they vanished because God has taken them away so they won't have to face the tribulation, to face evil. This is God's plan. But if you don't believe God, it's okay. God's like, it doesn't matter to me whether you believe me or not. Guess what? The sun comes up if you don't believe it or not. Prophecy happens whether you believe it or not. Okay? Now, we have a book in the Bible, and that book is the Song of Songs. Who knows what Song of Songs is about, right? You guys know what Song of Songs is? Who read Song of Songs? Oh, Parrish, did you read it? You knew you're not old enough to read that yet. Song of Songs is about love, okay? But sometimes it gets kind of, so my mom used to like, get out of that book, right? Don't read that one. But Songs of Song is about a guy preparing for his bride and a marriage. It has eight chapters, okay? It has eight chapters. What is eight? Jesus Christ. It has 117 verses. What is 117? My close personal friends, okay? So now God is telling you in these eight verses, which is about love and a bride being taken away in a chariot to be in the kingdom, because she says, my royal chariots came and swift me up and took me away, okay? So in this chapter, in this book, Song of Song, now Song of Song, if you start from Genesis counting forward, it's the 22nd book, okay? Now, if you read the song, the verse, it says this, come away, my love, be like a gazelle or a young stag on the mountains of spice. Okay? That's the last verse of Song of Songs. It's the very last verse. It's chapter 8, verse 14. How much is 8 and 14? How much is that? 22? Okay. So now we got another 22, right? So God is like, I want to show you something else last night. He said the last verse of Song of Song is 22, and it says for you to come away. It's like, I'm going to show you every time until you leave that you're leaving. Okay? And we're going to keep it in your mind so you know and you understand when you see things happening in the world, don't worry, you're leaving.
Amen.
So now, this verse in Song of Songs, verse 8, verse 14 says, come away with me, my love, be like a gazelle, or like a young stag on the mountains of spice. Chapter 8, verse 14. Now, if you look on the next page, what's the numerical value of that verse? 1661. The same as at the last days, the same as if only they knew it was their end, the same as come, take me away. So God is like, I'm trying to make it clear. I'm lining everything up so you can see and know and understand. I'm telling you right now, all of you sitting here, if you ain't there in heaven at the rapture, I will not be feeling guilty.
Amen.
Because right now I'm telling you, I am letting you know. Amen. I am letting you know that Jesus is coming. He started this plan. That sun in the sky, that's his. Okay? He's coming. He's letting you know he's coming. He gave you a hint in 2020. He gave you hints in 1948. He gave you hints in 1967. He gave you another hint in 2017 by Donald Trump announcing to you that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. Yeah. That was a prophetic event. That was doing a Jubilee prophetic event. And so you know, each and every person here, you know, if you have no relationship with Jesus Christ, or if your relationship with Jesus Christ is church, a song, and a raised hand, but I do what I want when I'm not there, you're fooling yourself. That's a very dangerous thing to do, okay? Now, the Lord wanted to show me one more thing. Let's go to Revelation chapter 11. I got 10 minutes, Pastor Ben?
Yes, sir.
All right.
What are you doing?
Huh? I think we just looked at it, right? We already did that, Pastor Ben. 116 is Song of Songs 8:14, 22. 116 is the same as all the verses that say it's the end of time. Okay. We see it's the 11th letter, though. You see that? How many chapters are in the book of Revelation? 22. So when you get to the 11th chapter, you should be talking about a judgment, because you're saying what? 11 is what? Confusion and judgment. So let's see what happens in chapter 22. Oh my goodness, it's a story about two witnesses. It says, I was given a reed like a measuring rod and was told to go and measure the temple, of God and the altar and count the worshipers there. But exclude the outer court and do not measure it, because it has been given to the Gentiles. They will trample on the holy city for 42 months. How long is that? 3.5 years. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days, clothed with sackcloth. These are the two olive trees, the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. If anyone tries to harm them, fire comes from their mouth and devours their enemy. This is how anyone who wants to harm them must die. These men have power to shut the sky so that it will not rain during the time they are prophesying. Who was the prophet that had to have the power and made it not rain for 3.5 years? Elijah. Oh, wait a minute. Let me see here. Also equaling 1661 is, behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming and great dreadful day of the Lord. That scripture also equals 1661. Okay. So whatever scripture that's telling you it's end times, it's telling you the exact story of the whole Bible. So Elijah was the one who did that. And it says, and they have power to turn water into blood. Who did that? Moses. Remember, two witnesses are coming back. When Jesus went up on the mountain after the sixth day, who was standing up there with him? Elijah and Moses. Hey, we need to have a meeting. Now they're going to kill you, but you need to prophesy for 3.5 years, okay? Because you've got to experience death. Because it, you understand? So here we go. Here we go. And it says, and they have power to turn water into blood and to strike the earth and every kind of plague as often as they want. Now, when they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes out of the abyss will attack them and overpower them and kill them, and their bodies will be in the street of the great city, which is figuratively called Sodom and Egypt, where also the Lord was crucified. For there, it says, for 3.5 days, men from every people, tribe, language, nation will gaze on their bodies and refuse them burial. How is everybody in the world going to see them? You got TV? CNN. Okay. The inhabitants of the earth will gloat over them and will celebrate by sending each other gifts, because the two prophets who had tormented those who lived on the earth. And it says, after 3 days, 3.5 days, the breath of God will enter them, and they stood on their feet, and terror struck those who saw them. Then they heard a loud voice from heaven saying, come up here. That's going to happen in tribulation. But it's in verse chapter 11. Why? Because that is the letter for Kaf, which is the crowning accomplishment of God, but the confusion that is going to be on the earth.
Yeah.
Man, God has taught me this Bible so well. I love him. I love him. Because I get to tell you so that you don't have to sit in a church, people talking about your tithe and your offering. Girl, if you want to be a good member, you need to be a tither. And I sat in that for years. You're going to get your breakthrough. God's got a husband for 10 women in here. But I got to prove that God really got a husband for you. Every woman that got a I saw this just ago. I just saw this 2 days ago. God's gonna give 10 women husbands, but you gotta have $1,000 seed. Come up. Now that'll prove that you're one of the 10. They were playing what's that skating thing where they be knocking each other?
Well,
man, they're playing roller derby trying to get to the front. Knocking each other to because the church is not like what it used to be. The church is full of snakes.
Yeah.
And that means study to show who approve?
Thyself.
You don't study to prove other people wrong. I study to help me.
Amen.
To make sure that I know. You understand? God gave me one more clue, and that was it. Okay? Song of Songs, 8:14. 8 plus 14 is 22, another 22. Okay? And he's letting you know, we are the wheat harvest. What's wheat harvest in Hebrew? 22. Okay? So I'm just letting you know. God is like, I'm going to keep giving you the clues so you see each and every day I'm coming. And when I come, if you're in Christ, you're leaving. If you're not in Christ, you're not. But Jesus already told you, not many are saved. And only half of the brides had oil in their lamp. So half the people that say, oh, I know Jesus and I'm waiting on the rapture, ain't going. So understand and know that it is about lifestyle. It is not about membership, attendance, tithing, you sing a song, you got an usher badge. None of that gets you in. Your day-to-day relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? It don't take much time to make God happy. He wants 10%, right? That's everything. Did you guys know that? Can I have 10% of your day? Can I have 10% of your day? Can I have like 20 minutes to study the word? Can I have a 5-minute prayer? It doesn't take much to please God. But somehow Satan keeps us from even giving him that little portion. Come on, we can do it.
Yeah.
I expect to see everybody sitting here, and I'm waiting for my dance. Praise God.
Amen.